Every wisdom tradition has its own set of practices. Prayer, chanting, healing circles, meditation, all different spiritual technologies, I guess you could call them.
Like music, with certain kinds of melodies and rhythms and the sound of the human voice.
One of the speakers at the Island of Knowledge session on human flourishing was Dalal Abu Amna. She's a Palestinian singer and recording artist, and also a neuroscientist who believes that music can heal.
And that's saying a lot, considering her recent experience. Dalal is an Israeli citizen, born and raised in Nazareth, and she's also a pacifist and a Sufi. When the war in Gaza broke out, she was detained and then released by the police, and then subject to death threats and nightly protests outside her house.
They went on for months. And yet, she is still committed to the idea that music can bring people together.
Actually, I was considered a classical singer till I discovered the power of the folk songs. They can be a common denominator between people from many different backgrounds, whether if they were educated, not educated, you know, people that live in the urban places or in cities. They all share this love for folk music because it can connect us to the collective. I was raised in a city where folk songs are not very common there, but I was connected to Palestine, and I wanted to help myself and others to connect to this concept of Palestine. What is Palestine for you? So I saw Palestine as the beauty, as this beautiful music. That's why I moved from classical singing to folk singing, taking grandmothers with me.
Wait, you and literal grandmothers?
Yeah. So I started by a concert in Jerusalem, which I brought, I thought about this idea to revive how we used to sit, you know, as a family, singing together. So I brought old, elderly women from the church or from, you know, my mother, my auntie, my personal grandmother was also part of this band. And I thought it will be for one time show. And now, you know, it was a huge success because they saw these elderly women, these grandmas, stepping on the stage and greeting the audience. Audience was, you know, shocked for seeing these beautifully dressed, you know, with Palestinian traditional dresses from different backgrounds, Christian women with Muslims, with secular, with, you know, you can feel the mosaic, the mosaic, of the beauty of, you know, of Palestine in the eye of a woman in front of you on the stage. And they were singing in a very unprofessional way, but very authentic way. It turned out that this project, you know, I started with 12 grandmothers. Now, after 10 years, we have more than 3,000 from all over the world, even, you know, living in the US and Europe, grandmothers singing.
Okay, maybe because I'm in my early 60s myself, but it's the grandmother part of this that really gets me. So when Dalal and I talked, that's where we began. We both know as women get older, we become less visible. Our status lowers. And so tell me what that means to you to bring grandmothers on stage.
Beautiful question. Actually, I will tell you that story of, you know, when these grandmothers started singing with me, in the beginning they were embarrassed. They would talk about that we are not professional singers, and at this age, at age
who
of
wants
70,
to see us?
Yeah, who wants to see us? We are not. Actually, we had this gathering together after 10 concerts. They shared with me how each one has her own experience of how this project healed her in a personal level. For example, one of the grandmothers, she felt unseen for many years by her family, by her grandkids. She told me that when I've never thought to look at the mirror because I'm not beautiful as I was. Yeah. And she shared with me how she felt after a year of having a lot of concerts in Palestine, about singing with a lot of crowds, you know, sometimes thousands, and making them happy and dancing, you know, because it's very joyful music. And she told me, now I'm looking with pride on the mirror, and I'm proud of myself. And now my grandkids is asking me before coming to my house, Grandma, will you be at home during the weekend, or you will have your concerts now? So she's not available all the time, and that made her feel more wanted and more valued. You ask me about why grandmothers. So the grandmothers everywhere, it's not only relevant to the Arabic culture.
Right.
Everywhere, they have a powerful position in the family. They can lead. They are leaders. I've seen that in many cultures. And actually, it was scientifically proved, the effect of grandmothers.
Really?
They have, yeah. One study found that kids who were raised by their grandmothers as well as their mothers, they lived longer lives. They, you know, they faced less mortality. And many other studies that showed the importance of having a grandmother in the fabric of a family.
The other part of the project is the music itself.
Yeah.
And I want to point out that you're a scientist.
Yeah.
A neuroscientist.
Yeah.
I know that you think that music is a kind of mental technology.
Yeah.
What do you think music does for and to us?
We should ask why we as humankind have created music from the very beginning. Music in the very beginning was our way to communicate. It was our way to communicate with others, to communicate our feelings when words fail, and to connect to something higher. It's actually started as an imitation and as a reverence to nature, to Mother Earth. Mm. So we were imitating
the birds and the monkeys and everything we hear.
And it started like that. And a lot of research proves how music can help mental health issues like depression, like stress, like anxiety.
So why do you think music has that effect?
Music transcends language. It engages the entire brain at once. We found that music can increase dopamine level, which, you know, actually related to motivation. It can increase serotonin level, which is also related to tranquility.
Calm. What about the effect of actually singing? You're a singer. You have the most beautiful voice.
Thank you.
When we sing, you're hearing it outside, but you're feeling it. You're generating it with your body. So those tones are flowing, you know, through your throat, resonating through all of your sinus cavities in your head.
Exactly.
What's the effect of that?
The human voice has a profound effect on our amygdala, actually. This part of, you know, that process emotions in our... Mm-hmm. Because it was connected for the first time with our mother's voices when
we heard in the womb.
Yeah, in the womb. Yeah. So a human voice has a huge representation in the brain, and it actually has more profound effect than instrumental music because it's more natural. Everyone can chant Anyone can chant. And chanting actually was, from the beginning of the humankind, was accompanied us in our ceremonies, in our shamanic, tribal rituals, and in different cultures, and every culture, you can see the impact of the human voice on the collective. Actually, studies also showed that while listening to music has a profound impact on our hormonal system and our neurological system, doing music, chanting or playing an instrument, has a more significant effect on our... So we need to practice music, right, even if we are not...
We need to make music, talented, not just listen to
talented musicians. Yeah. I can recall one study that showed that playing the piano for 3 months, only for 3 months, in adults, we're not talking about teenagers, adults after the age of 30, actually, they found that there was huge difference in the white matter, which is actually the myelin sheath, and it's actually the connectivity between our brain cells. They found that music, playing only for 3 months, can have a significant impact, and that has implications on our memory and our processing, so...
Yeah. Yeah, it's astonishing to me this isn't better known. I mean, it seems like every day there's another article about the importance of exercise for the brain, to protect the brain. Why the hell am I not reading every day that we should all be playing a musical instrument or singing or something?
Yeah. That's why we are creating at the Center for Healthy Mind in Madison. Mm-hmm. We see music as a contemplative practice, actually. We are also willing to create music that we believe can help people. That's what actually my aspiration as a singer and also as an activist, that, you know, my whole life I was trying to build bridges between people. I was born into this reality of, you know, in the Middle East where a lot of wars and many religions, many cultures are there. And I felt that it's not a luxury. You know, music is not a luxury. Music is actually... a survival need. We need music to survive and to rebuild our collective consciousness as a human being on this earth.
I have to ask about your own personal experience, that because in the last year you've been at the painful center of Israeli-Palestinian debate. I should ask you just briefly to tell me what happened for you, but then what I really want to ask is whether music has helped you through this period.
Of course, you know, I was arrested for opposing the war.
Arrested by the Israeli government?
Yeah, by the Israeli police. I'm an Israeli citizen, and actually it was a anti-democratic action that they did. And, you know, after this arrest, more than 100 protests and demonstrations were held in front of my house with a lot of aggression and violence and cursing and...
And you got death threats. People cut off the water and electricity to your house.
Exactly.
You couldn't leave. Your children were harassed.
I couldn't get out of my house for almost a year during certain hours, you know, the evening hours, because of these demonstrations.
And when you went to the Israeli police?
Unfortunately, they came and sung the national Israeli anthem with the crowds in front of my house.
They joined the protest?
So, yeah, they joined the protest, and they told me that this is democracy, while... No one was allowed to demonstrate in the first year of the war happening. You know, no Israelis were allowed to oppose the war. And they tried to silence me, but it actually helped me to feel more connected to my role as a musician.
Really?
Because I felt how music actually has the ability to make a change to this world. And I felt that to use scientifically backed musical pieces to help us feel more connected to ourselves and to others, if we make this music from the midst of the pain, you know, we have painful grandmothers, you know, suffering grandmothers from each side. If we bring grandmothers, you know, Israeli and Jewish and Palestinian grandmothers together to sing, please, we don't want anyone to be killed from either side. We need both sides to live peacefully together. And actually, we have a lot in common. That's what I said also to the interrogator that interrogated me. I told them, you are a Moroccan, And, you know, you are arresting me for singing for Palestine. This is my culture. It's not anti-Israeli. It's not anti your existence. We need to connect on that level. That's why I feel that the connection in through music can help us build, transcend these materialistic, physical needs for a ground, for this land. This land is for me. This was promised for me 3,000 years ago. And we need to create this common denominator between both sides. And we can do that through music, and we can do that through grandmothers. Grandmothers singing from both sides.
Dalal Abu Amna is a Palestinian singer, producer, and neuroscientist. She's currently a visiting scientist and artist at the Center for Healthy Minds in Madison, Wisconsin.